We are here broadcasting live, Pacifica Radio here in Charlotte, North Carolina, the home of the Democratic National Convention. Davey D here, along with Margaret Prescott. And sitting in front of us, I don't know how they got in, but they are here on the floor from the Green Party, the presidential candidate Jill Stein and the vice presidential candidate Sherry Hunkela. How y'all doing, and why are you here at the Democratic Convention? Ms. Stein, I'll start off with you.
Well, thanks, and it's really great to be with you. Thanks so much for having us. We're here because the voice of everyday people needs to be here, because we're in a crisis. We need jobs. We're losing our health care, our homes, decent wages, affordable higher education. We got 36 million students and recent graduates who are indentured servants, millions of people who've lost their homes, millions more in the pipeline. We've got an attack going on our civil liberties. Our climate is melting down, and the wealthy few are making out like bandits more than ever. And the political establishment, both wings, the Democratic and the Republican wings, are actually making it worse, imposing austerity on everyday people while they continue squandering trillions of dollars on wars we don't need, on Wall Street bailouts that aren't helping ordinary people, and big tax breaks for the very wealthy. We're saying people are at the breaking point, and we need to change it into a tipping point. They're not going to do it for us, so we got to stand up with independent politics, because the corporate parties have been kind of, their agenda's been hijacked by Wall Street.
Mm. Margaret is chomping at the bit.
I want to bring Sherry Hunkela into this discussion, because, Sherry, you are known for working on poverty, issues of poverty, the Poor People's Campaign, welfare, the homeless people for decades now. Why did you think it was important to basically bring that platform into party politics, even an alternative party like the Green Party?
Because folks that are living below the federal poverty level, it takes about 2 seconds to convince them that the one-party system in this country isn't working for them. And if we're going to build an independent political party in this country, it's going to come from those that have the least. And I'm actually here because I think it's incredibly important that the entire country knows that there's another choice that's out there. It's just being blacked out from the media. And I think that there's something far more scary in this country about people not having access to democracy and being able to make their own choices.
Let me ask both of you, if you can put on your analyst hat and policy hat. We've been talking to a lot of folks here on this convention floor, and all of them are saying that they are about the people, they're going to get jobs, that they're going to make sure that living wages are given, that the students who are, as you described, indentured servants are going to get relief. They're saying this is what they're going to do. This is what Barack Obama is going to deliver. What are we missing here in this equation? Start off with you, Ms. Stein.
So one thing we're missing is actually the track record. And what has Barack Obama put his weight behind over the past 4 years? And in fact, we've seen a stimulus package, but one that was largely tax breaks and not actually direct job creation, which we could be doing. We know how to do this. It got us out of the Great Depression. We called it the New Deal. We're actually proposing a Green New Deal to bring back that job creation that actually works. Instead of providing tax breaks, which don't create jobs, we can actually directly create jobs in our communities. Instead of allowing homeowners to be thrown out of their homes, we can actually buy up those mortgages. There was hundreds of billions of dollars that the president had that was appropriated for that purpose, and he decided not to, crying basically, oh, moral hazard. But actually, there was a predatory loan scam that went on. The moral hazard here is in letting Wall Street go unpunished and continuing to actually exercise waste, fraud, and abuse on Wall Street. Yet Wall Street is still being coddled by this president, whose Department of Justice just 2 weeks ago said they will not prosecute Goldman Sachs, even though Goldman Sachs not only participated in predatory mortgages, but in predatory fraudulent bundling of those mortgages into these fraudulent securities. That's what really brought the economy down. So we could be actually bailing out homeowners. We've got a track record here, basically, where the president hasn't stepped up to the plate. On, for example, on immigrant rights, this president has taken Bush's so-called Secure Communities Program, which is essentially a program of racial profiling and immigrant deportations, and has taken it farther than any other president ever has. On our civil liberties, those have been absolutely trampled upon, and the president has the right to indefinitely detain any of us, to send us off for rendition, or even to assassinate. These are the violations of George Bush taken much further. The free trade agreements, these have been greatly expanded, and there's a new free trade agreement being negotiated right now by this president in secret, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, that will continue to send our jobs overseas and undermine wages here at home. So the narrative we hear from the Democratic Party is it's the right narrative, but it's a talking the talk, and we've got 4 years where they've been walking the walk for Wall Street, not for people. Mm-hmm. So it's really important that we stand up and say that this is not okay. We can't go into the voting booth and basically give them a mandate for doing 4 more years of the same.
Okay. As we get ready to wrap up, I just want to ask you, Jill Stein, who's running for president now, is the voice of Sherry Hunkla. Many people are very scared, especially after coming from the RNC, seeing the racism, the xenophobia, the unrestraint, as Margaret described. What do we say to those people that say, look, I know it ain't perfect, but I'd rather have Obama than the craziness that I'm seeing with Mitt Romney, and so I like you all, but I'm going to go with him.
Great.
What do you say to that group?
And thanks for bringing that up, because it's really important, I think, to talk about that. So one point to make here is that if you actually look at the track record, what we've gotten under Barack Obama in many ways has gone far beyond the harm of George Bush.
So you think Barack Obama is worse a president than George Bush?
What I'm saying is that you can't trust the narrative. That the narrative might sound a whole lot better right now than the Republican narrative, but that in many ways the Democrats have just been one step behind. And just look at the facts. Don't take my word for it. $700 billion in Wall Street bailouts under George Bush, it became $4.5 trillion under Barack Obama, and then another $16 trillion in zero-interest loans. So those loans got much bigger. If you look at the expanding free trade agreements, which send our jobs overseas and undermine our wages at home, those actually massively expanded under Barack Obama. Three existing free trade agreements were added, and now there's the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which makes NAFTA look like child's play. This is going on. If you look at the foreclosure crisis, it was just beginning under George Bush. It's been allowed to run rampant under Barack Obama, even though Congress actually appropriated $300 billion to buy up those foreclosures. And the president could have said, let's require the banks to negotiate and to lower the principal to current market value. We've had all kinds of solutions available, even on the war. Why did we actually come home from Iraq? It turned out it was George Bush's date of withdrawal. This president tried to extend our stay in Iraq, and in fact, he surged the troops into Afghanistan, expanded the drone wars into Yemen and Somalia, expanded the bombing into Pakistan. So the narrative has been much more humane and much more personal and compelling, so we tend to trust it. But if you actually look at what happened, it's been devastating. It's been especially devastating to the community of color, whose wealth has dropped over the past 6 years. You probably know it used to be incredibly unjust, where the average African-American and Latino family had 10 cents on the dollar for wealth. On the dollar that a Caucasian family had, a Latino and an African-American family had 10 cents. Over the past 6 years, that has dropped to 5 cents. Now, some people say, oh, he was forced to do it. But in fact, there were 2 years where the president did have both houses of Congress, certainly has had the bully pulpit, is a very powerful communicator, could have gotten out there and persuaded the American public to actually be the driver and to get us to move forward. But starting on day three, actually, when there was no pressure from the Republicans, Barack Obama actually began to intensify the war effort and began to escalate the bombing deeper into Pakistan, then went on to invite Wall Street into the White House. Jeffrey Immelt, for God's sake, who is the head of GE, who has personally basically put more jobs overseas than any single person in this country, who has closed more factories. He was made the head of President Obama's Jobs Council. So there's a real disconnect here between the narrative and what the president actually chose to do. So, you know, that's why we're saying we've got to stand up. We can solve this. There are good solutions. We do have the money. We can stop the wars, the Wall Street bailouts, the tax breaks for the wealthy, keep families in their homes. We can create the jobs. We can downsize the military and tax the rich so that we have education. We can bail out the students and the homeowners and not the bankers. It's up to us.
That's the voice of Jill Stein. We also were hearing from Sherry Hunkler. But we want to thank you all for coming in and sharing with us. Incredible stuff.
Thank you.
Very
thank
compelling.
You thank you. We're saying it's time for the politics of courage. We've had enough of the politics of fear. It's brought us everything we were afraid of. It's time for us to stand up and lead the way.
Thank you, Jill Stein.